You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, Mason in Ireland. Ramona's in for Mace. And we were just talking about the equal pay that the women pushed through for the men. I knew everybody wouldn't agree with what they decided to do, which is basically pool all the money. The men are playing in a tournament with $400 million. The women are playing in a tournament worth $60 million, but the men and the women are going to pool the money and split it so they can get the women equal pay. Here's Tim in L.A. Hey, Tim, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing?
How you doing today, John?
Good, Tim. How are you? Thanks for calling in. What do you got?
I understand exactly what you're saying, and you're fundamentally correct that revenue should be distributed based on revenue generated. But you made one comment that I fundamentally disagree with.
Okay, what was it?
You said that the growth of the game of soccer, football, in America is going to be championed by the women. I think to the rest of the world, and if Jorge is listening, he could vouch for this. To the rest of the world, women's soccer is the equivalent of the old rollerblade leagues at Venice Beach, rollerblade hockey leagues to the NHL. And increasingly, I think young people in America are starting to think of soccer, football soccer, as a female sport. And that is going to affect participation of your top athletes in America in soccer.
Go ahead and finish.
This is why the U.S. hasn't really had a championship contender team in soccer, because you have a tier of the 10th best athletes in America playing against a tier of the best athletes in Germany, Italy, Argentina, you name it.
It's a fair point, but Tim, here's what I'd come back at you with. And Ramona, I'm curious what you think.
Yep.
Keep in mind that the rest of the world isn't doing equal pay. This is just the United States. This is just the U.S. We're the first country ever to do it. And to your point, the best athletes in any high school, are going to play football, basketball, and baseball. That's just what our kids gravitate to. Those are the biggest sports in our country. Soccer is fourth in line at best. And so, Ramona, I think with women, now that women see that they could play soccer and make a career out of it, it's going to get more women, and Tim brought this up, it's going to get more women to play soccer than ever before. If you're a girl, and like you were a good softball player when you were younger, if you're a girl and you're thinking about, well, what should I make my sport? Should I go into gymnastics? Should I go into softball? Should I go into basketball? Should I go into soccer? I think this is going to make a lot of girls play soccer. What do you think?
Yeah, can you name the professional soccer team that is here in Los Angeles that was...
No, but it just started, right?
Right, it just started. But they have some pretty big names. Julie Foudy's there, Mia Hamm, Natalie Portman was one of the founders. They just had this big star-studded opening game. Can you name them?
No, I don't know what the name of the team is.
It's like the Angel City something.
FC, yeah.
Yeah.
The FC, yeah. Okay, so... All of that is set. All of that's true. What you're saying is right. Like, you can make more of a career. You have to start somewhere. I think these leagues, these teams are big. But, you know, as somebody who is like, I'm a big women's sports person, right? Like, this was my life. This is what I did. I used to go watch the women's soccer team. When I played women's soccer, I would watch them have exhibitions when they came through LA.
And they were good, right? Stanford was good when you were there, yeah.
Yeah, or not even Stanford, the U.S. women. I went up to Santa Barbara. I remember I was playing club soccer. I went and saw Mia Hamm and Christine Lilly and that whole team. Remember the 99 team?
Sure.
But what's happened with women's soccer is we pay attention every 2 to 4 years when there's an Olympics or a World Cup. But the big thing for a lot of our great domestic players who play here in the States domestically is, can they sustain a league where they can play all year round?
Couldn't I have a WNBA type league? Ramona, if I was a soccer player, if I was like the best college soccer player in the world, and I was good enough to play on the Women's World Cup team, now, couldn't I make enough money to be a professional soccer player just by being on the U.S.
Women's
team? Yeah, okay.
Especially if they're in the developmental program.
Thanks, Tim,
like two
for
or
the
three
phone call.
Team groups, you know, there's it's you can't just be if there's like 15 people.
Right.
It's got to be like 50 deep. That pool, that player pool, has got to be about 50 deep for it to really make a difference.
Yeah. Here's Jeff in Hermosa. Hey, Jeff, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Well, actually, a few things have happened since I called in, but it seems like what Ramona just said, how many of you guys have actually paid to go to a female soccer game?
Well, if it's a World Cup game, everybody. Those World Cup games at the Rose Bowl, Jeff, sold out like in one day. So what these
But NFL games and NBA games, and those are selling out all throughout the season and all that. And to kind of like do equal pay just based on the idea of equal pay, it seems like what if someone argued, well, everyone on the Lakers should be paid the same amount of money because they're all out there playing.
Right, like, but why I don't think your comparison works, Jeff, is that we're only talking about the national team. So we're not asking people to pay top dollar for the league Ramona just described. They're trying to get started, and they're trying to get a foothold. But this national team, wherever they go play, when they play in Chicago, Boston, D.C., L.A., they pack the place. They draw as big of a crowd as men do. And so the negotiation that we're talking about, and we appreciate you calling in, thanks, the negotiation we're talking about strictly applies to the women's national team. That's it. The team Alex Morgan plays on, all right? That's it. They're going to get equal pay. It's not the Angel City team. Yep. Those guys are all going to have to negotiate on their own. We're not suggesting the Sparks should be paid the same as the Lakers. We're saying that if the U.S. women's national basketball team was selling out arenas and winning World Cups and gold medals, they should get half of that international revenue, and that's what the women negotiated.
And I think it's a big deal because, honestly, John, like this is what I always say. You have to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Like they have to start
somewhere. I'm proud of them.
We can't fix the issue starting in professional league. We can't. But the fact that they did this after years and years of advocating for this and, you know, trying to keep the faith to actually pull this off, it's really incredible. And I think it's if we look at how we represent ourselves to the world, right, in international competitions, our national teams, whether it's the Olympics or World Cups, like that's an expression of our values. So when people talk about equal pay and all that, it's a nice thing to say. It's another thing to actually do it. And I actually really applaud the men's team for agreeing to this. You know, like
right
because
yes. if they don't agree to it, then that's it. Okay, all right. So before I get to this this story about the Super Bowl, I want to do a shout out. Okay, Ramona, are you a good tennis player?
I am not a good tennis player, but I should be.
Yeah. Bergman, can you play tennis at all? You any good at it?
A little bit.
All right.
Like, I should be. I'm short. I'm low to the ground. I'm quick. I'm strong. But every time I play, all I do is hit homers.
Yeah. Well, you know? Me too. All right. Yeah, so okay. I live in Manhattan Beach, and there is one high school here. All right.
Yep.
In the whole city. It's called MiraCosta.
Oh, yeah.
And their boys' tennis team won the CIF Division I title. They beat Loyola. You know, Loyola's a sports powerhouse. They beat them 10-8 Friday in the finals. It's the first time since 1976 that Costa won the title. First time in history they had singles and doubles in the round of 16. And so a shout out to Coach Mark McGuire, Coach Alan Yap, Ethan Crawley, who I know, Cal Porter, who I know their parents. These kids have been knocking on this door forever. It's what that 46 years they've been trying to win the title going against powerhouse schools like Loyola. And on Friday they did it. So shout out to the MiraCosta boys tennis team who finally won the CIF title. Bergman, do you think you and I could return serve from any of those kids? Could we get a racket on any of those? If Ethan Crawley or Cal Porter served at us, do we have a chance to get the ball on our racket at all?
I mean, I think we can tip it off like the edge at one point. Like if we swing really early and just hope
where the ball is
it might actually like tip off the top a little bit and just kind of skid off to the side. But that's about it.
Fat chance.
I can hit it back if they hit it right at me.
And you just close your eyes and stuck your racket out?
I can probably do that. Like that was quick. I just don't know where we go after I return.
All right. So shout out to the MiraCosta boys tennis team. All right. So I wanted to get to this. Joe Burrow, who of course had that magical season for the Bengals last year, finally talked about what he did after the Super Bowl. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but he was heavily criticized. The Bengals were heavily criticized for having a party after they lost the Super Bowl. Remember, the Rams won. The Rams celebrated. The Bengals apparently went back to their hotel in L.A. and threw a big bash. Yesterday, Burrow was on a podcast, and he was asked if he, now that he's had a few months to think about how he handled it, if he regrets it. Here's what Burrow said.
Here's the thing. It's not so much as, you know, resuming life, but I was watching you guys watch the Football Lifes on NFL Network?
Yeah. I
was watching a bunch of those leading up to the game, and Kurt Warner said something in it. When he lost the Super Bowl, he regretted not celebrating what they had accomplished instead, and he did what you talked about. He went and sulked in a corner, and then after the game, I was like, yeah, it sucks. We just lost the Super Bowl, but we did something really cool,
yeah.
And I wanted to celebrate with the guys about what we did for the year and all the success that we had, rather than, you know, sit in a corner and sulk about the game we just lost.
Okay, Ramona, you played in the College World Series. You've been in a lot of big events. Anything wrong with celebrating after losing in the championship game?
How long after? How long
that
ago
night.
Again?
That night.
You know, I have done it. Usually at the end of a season, I'm like a big puddle of tears. I'm always crying.
Right.
Because you spend so much with time and energy and passion with these people trying to win, and then it's all over and it's like 0-60 and then 60-0. Right. And there's a real emotional letdown afterwards. And a lot of people just want to go home, but I've really never been on a team that was favored to win and didn't. Right. So like when we went to the World Series, we lost and we finished third. I mean, we would have loved to have won it, but we finished third. It was the first time Stanford ever been to the World Series. It was an amazing run that we went on. We were bummed that we lost, but like, we totally had a great run, and we went out and celebrated after. We not celebrated, but we, you know, we had a nice team dinner. It's like, it's kind of cathartic. It's sort of healing to spend time with your teammates afterwards and have some perspective. Now, if we had been favored to win it all, tons of pressure. Like, let's say you're the undefeated Patriots that lost to the Giants that year, and then you lose. Yeah, I don't know if I would have gone out and celebrated, right?
Bergman, anything wrong with celebrating after losing a championship game?
No. So the Rams, when they went to Atlanta and they lost, when they played New England, they had a party afterwards. They were going to have a party here in Los Angeles if they lost that one as well. It's just something that they do. You made it to the Super Bowl. It's a huge deal. So no, there's no problem for me whatsoever on it.
I don't think I'd be in the mood to celebrate. Maybe I would if it was like Ramona said with your other teammates. Jorge, do you think there's anything wrong with celebrating after you lose a title game?
I mean, I think we're expected not to celebrate it. I don't see nothing wrong with it. No, not at all.
Bergman, you hit on a key point. The Bengals were not expected to even make it that far. You know, for them, Ramona, in your example, they were the underdog.
Right.
And so they did accomplish something.
I do think you would be in the mood. I'm telling you, like, there's a huge emotional letdown afterwards. And now listen, am I going out to live? Am I going out to Vegas and partying like that? No. But would I like to have a nice dinner with my teammates and just kind of commiserate and hang out one more time? And, you know, maybe we share some beers and some laughs. Like, yeah, man, that's fine.
All right. Coming up next. Momo.
Yeah.
If I told you right now, pretend you're in studio. Today we're both doing the show from home because Ramona's super pregnant and my son is laid up after he had his wisdom.
Well, the truth is I would have come in, but then you're not coming in. So then I was like, well.
Yeah, I might come in tomorrow, depending on how Jack feels. I might come in tomorrow.
Okay.
But but if I told you right now, there's a possum in studio.
Oh, God.
Could you keep going or would you leave? Hold that idea. Hold that thought, because it may. I'll give it to you next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Mason in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne's in for Mason. I got breaking news, Momo.
Yeah?
Jorge, you played Michael's music for breaking news?
The button's right next to it.
I mean, it broke. The glass
That's
broke.
True. All right. The number one wide receiver in college football, Jordan Addison, we were told would probably announce at some point today that he was going to Texas. He's not. Jordan Addison has decided he will continue. I'm quoting his statement now. I will continue my full development as a student athlete by enrolling at USC.
Oh,
Lincoln Riley got him. The rich get richer. Jordan Addison is coming to USC. This is the number one wide receiver in the country who played at Pitt last year. But Kenny Pickett, his quarterback, went into the NFL draft, got taken by the Steelers. Strangely, Keaton Slovis, who played at USC, is now going to be the quarterback at Pitt. But he wants to come play with Caleb Williams and join the receiving core at USC. So another feather in the cap of Lincoln Riley. He gets Jordan Addison, who is on his way to USC. Wow.
That's amazing.
That is a big get for the Trojans.
So what'd they have to give him, you think? Was it $5 million, a car, house, an RV, your own land?
Okay, I was gonna do the possum in the press box story, but we can do this now instead, Greg, because this has been a much discussed subject today. Around sports is the transfer portal and the name, image, and likeness change that has happened in the sport. Yesterday, Nick Saban, who's the head coach at Alabama, basically came out and accused Texas A&M of using name, image, and likeness to buy the number one recruiting class in the country. If you don't believe me, listen to Saban. He was talking to a group of business leaders in Alabama, and nobody, not even Paul Feinbaum, can believe he actually said this. Here's Nick Saban yesterday.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it. And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting.
All right, so there's Nick Saban, Momo, basically coming out and saying Texas A&M has bought an entire recruiting class. Now, Jimbo Fisher, who used to be one of Nick's assistants at Alabama and is the head coach at Texas A&M, did not pull any punches. He came right back at his old boss. Here's Jimbo Fisher.
Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable.
So it's on. I mean, college football is on. And Lincoln Riley has said nothing. He's just kind of worked behind the scenes, got that unbelievable job to coach at USC, and now he lands Jordan Addison. What do you think about everything that's happening with name, image, and likeness, and where does it go from here?
You know, I think we were all waiting for this, right? This was all the prediction that everybody had for football and basketball. And it's, you know, when these new rules came out with name, image, and likeness. I guess I'm okay with it because I think people should be, you know, making money considering how much money the schools are making off them. But we've got to have some kind of regulation here. It's just too, like, you know, so a friend of mine, I'm not going to name names, okay, but a friend of mine went to a school, let's just say back east, not a big power school, but a Division I school, and makes enough money. So every year the alumni, used to contribute to the alumni fund and athletics and stuff like that. And now they're hitting him up every year for $150,000 for name, image, and likeness to help just to keep their top couple of players from transferring. Just to keep them. Like, as your just as a donation gift. Like, just as a, hey, in order to just retain two of the people who came to our school and decided to play here, and they got to be pretty good, so we have to keep them on the, you know, keep them on the payroll. They're hitting up the alumni just for money for stuff like that. And it just kind of feels like that's just not what this is supposed to be, right?
Well, I have no problem if you want to regulate it. But I do have a problem. I like Nick Saban. I've always liked him. Mason and I met him when we were back at ESPN. We were doing First Take. He came on and sat down at the set. He seems like actually a really reasonable guy. I think he comes off terrible here. The head coach, the best coach in college football, is complaining that somebody else outspent him. Does he really believe that his own alumni aren't going to do the same thing? What did he think was going to happen? What and who cares if Texas A&M got 25 recruits using name, image, and likeness? I've been in favor of the kids getting paid for years, and now it's just out in the open. Does Nick really think that his players haven't been paid under the table by alumni? Bryce Young, his quarterback, who's from Southern California, has $1 million MIL deal. I mean, what difference does it make if you give him $1 million before he comes or after?
Well,
it's about
also,
the kids getting paid.
It's about them getting paid, but it seems to be, it used to be also the kids getting paid, but also the way you run your program, the way you send kids to the league, the way you develop them, success that they have at school. Now it just seems to be kind of highest bidder.
And
not
by
for
the
everyone,
way,
but I get where Saban's frustrated. He does come off bad here because of, it's not like, you know, it's a people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones kind of deal, right?
Right. Well, Jimbo's right in this sense. This kind of reminds me of the old, remember Gary Hart, the political candidate? And he said, you guys should investigate me. You won't find anything. He invited reporters to investigate him. And then six months later, they caught him on the, what was the name of that boat? Monkey Business, with a girl who wasn't his wife. And that torpedoed his candidacy. If Nick starts calling schools out by name, like he did today, basically coming out and saying Texas A&M bought their recruiting class, of course people are going to come after him and put a microscope on his program. I think he stepped in it, don't you?
I mean, I don't think it's even possible now. Like, what are they going to find now? There's nothing illegal anymore.
Right, but I'm just saying,
making people get more. They're going to double down even more now. If there's no fear of the law, people are just going to drive 100 miles an hour. Right. I mean, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I went and visited a certain place out in the desert in Las Vegas. Okay.
Right.
And is this your Lamar Odom story? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And the people out there said, hey, you know, you really shouldn't drive back at night. People get going really fast on this highway. I go, oh yeah, I can imagine. It's in the middle of the desert. And they go, yeah, there's no policemen out here. There's no cop cars. You just go as fast as you want. There's no law. Like, you're literally in the most.
So that's college football now. It's no law.
Yeah. If there's nobody in charge, everybody's just gonna drive as fast as they want.
Hey, by the way, did you like what the Pac-12 did yesterday? How they?
Well, they do.
Okay, so now they got rid of the divisions in football. So now if you know, it used to be that they would have the West play
the North and
the
South
play
the
South in the championship game, Oregon would have to play UCLA or USC. Now, if UCLA and USC are the two best teams, they can play in the championship game. I like it. I think it's all about trying to get a team into the Final Four.
That's right. Yeah.
But it does take away the divisions. I mean, there's not going to be a winner of the North and winner of the South anymore. It's just 12 teams, and the best two go to the game.
The North was actually better for a long time.
Right.
Stanford,
they had Oregon
Washington, and Oregon.
Stanford. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's fine with me. Now I think it's just going to be USC every year. But
especially after today. With all the people they're bringing in. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to the possum story coming up. Bergman's going to join in about 15 minutes with Jump Ball.
I'm disturbed by this possum story.
Ramona is in for Mace. Wait till I tell you the details. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Mason in Ireland, Ramona's in for Mace. A reminder, poker players, listen up. The 2022 Mason in Ireland Poker Invitational is back. It'll be at the Commerce Casino and Hotel on Saturday, June 11th. Here's what you need to do. Text POKER, the word POKER, to 40705 for a chance to win a free seat in our tournament. The prize pool starts at $2,500. Both Mason and I have bounties on our heads. You knock us out, you get paid. Don't forget to text POKER to 40705. All right, so...
Do I get a bounty if I knock you out? Do I get the bounty?
Yes, yeah.
I do?
Of course.
That's amazing.
Why wouldn't you?
Because I'm at the station.
Cool.
I don't know.
Well, they might put a bounty on your head. I don't know.
No. I want to know if I take you out.
Yeah, anybody who takes us out gets it.
Greg.
But you, Greg, might get a bounty put on you.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. Do you think there should be a bounty on Greg's head?
At least on Jorge's head. And you, are you going to play Momo?
Momo's going to be very close to delivering.
I will have a newborn.
I mean, you can carry the newborn while playing poker.
Okay, so a friend of mine.
That's probably not a good look.
Yeah. I don't think you want to be anywhere near a casino when you're basically a week away from. What is your actual due date?
Okay, so my actual due date is June 14th. However,
this is on June 11th. Perfect.
No, they want me to do a C-section on the 8th, so I don't think I'll be in the hospital. So, but here's the thing, I have pushed the limits of acceptable behavior for pregnant ladies, both pregnancies. Okay.
Yeah.
Like when at last pregnancy, I was in Cleveland. This is why I think the Warriors are going to win, by the way, because they won the last time I was pregnant. Okay, it was 2018, and I was in Cleveland, and I was about 6 or 7 months along, right? And I was doing the radio broadcast with Mark Kestisher and PJ Carlissimo, Hubie Brown. Right? It was a good crew.
These guys are great.
And the last night, okay, so it's the Warriors are up 3-0. And we're all kind of realizing LeBron's probably going to leave Cleveland. We're probably not going to be back through there for a while. Like, you know, we'd all been going to Cleveland for so many years because it was the finals 5 years in a row, right?
Right.
And I go, hey, we should go to the casino. Don't you think we should play? And I'm like very pregnant at this point. And somehow we all go down there, me and Kestisher, and a bunch of – there were some coaches from the Warriors were there. I remember seeing a couple of people on the sports staff. And I find myself at the craps table. And I just – I mean, the bump was in the way. I couldn't even reach the table, right? But I got hot. I'm, like, rolling dice at 7 months pregnant. Like, and everybody's winning, and nobody will let me leave because, you know, we're all making money. And it was the last night we all spent in Cleveland during that LeBron run. And I was like, oh, if there was photos of that, man, that would be an all-timer.
Right. So, but I think you should show up June 11th at the Commerce Casino.
All right.
Now, Ramona, go into your rundown and open the story about the Twins broadcast crew. Have you ever been to the Oakland Coliseum where the A's play?
I have. All right, I have, so yeah.
Nobody shows up for the A's games. It's basically a cemetery. Look at the size of the possum that worked its way into the press box.
All right, I got to go find this. I have a lot of emails. Okay,
all right, so it's in the rundown that I sent.
I'll find it. Yeah, stuff for Thursday. Okay.
And so
here we go.
This is a big possum, and he basically he's coming in from the roof. All right.
Okay.
And somebody in the press box noticed it and took a picture, and they kicked the Twins out. They kicked the Twins broadcasters out.
Oh, my God.
So an exterminator could come and try and catch the possums. I don't know if there was more than one. But now here's the question. If I'm in that booth, I want to stay. I want to, like, I'll give you a play-by-play of the possum. Possum, is a possum going to hurt me?
Don't they have rabies?
I think possums are kind of mean, dude.
Well, okay, so with that in mind, Ramona, Jorge and Greg have already seen it. My dog was barking like crazy last month, and I couldn't figure out why. So I just sent you the video. We have these baskets where we keep beach towels underneath. We have a jacuzzi in the backyard. And in one of the baskets, a giant possum took over and, like, made the basket his little home. And so I just sent you the video of the animal control guys coming to get this guy. And he was huge. He was, like, twice the size of the one there. But I think it would be interesting. Like, Greg, your management now, if a possum sneaks into the air studio and Ramona and I are in there, do we get to stay on the air and do play-by-play, or are you kicking us out as a safety hazard?
No, no, no. I'm like, you do play-by-play. I was actually talking to the story. I saw this story that you sent, and I was talking to Amanda about it. She's like, possums are so nice. She actually, like, raised possums when she was little and, like, three little babies, and she had one outside of her place. I don't know. I've never seen a possum here in Los Angeles, but apparently she has. So have you seen one, Momo? You're
a valley girl.
We get
a lot of possums. Yeah, you know what? We get a lot of animals out where I live. Oh, yeah, now I'm looking at it. So you know my coyote dance story. I've already told you that story, right? I get followed by coyotes all the time when I go for my walks at night. We get raccoons a lot. Don't mess with raccoons. Those little guys can hurt you. They got sharp claws.
Well, they're mean.
Sharp teeth. Possums, I don't think they're dangerous. I just think they're ugly. They're like, look like giant rats, right? But most, you know what possums are famous for, right? Playing possum, playing dead. So right. I think they're more scared of us. So I think if they saw us, the possum would just lay down.
Greg, did I not send you the video of the possum that broke into my backyard?
I did. Didn't you have to? Did someone come and, like, pick it up?
Yeah, animal control came and they had this giant stick with a noose on the end and they had to corral it. I just sent it to you again. But yeah, I can't believe you've never seen a possum.
Oh, never seen a possum in my life. I've lived here my entire life.
Like, not over on the side of the road or anything?
That's a big possum.
No. I've seen coyotes. I've seen bobcats. I've seen a whole bunch of other stuff. But I've never seen a possum for whatever reason.
Yeah. So, anyway, there's now, if you get assigned to work a game in the Oakland Coliseum, apparently there's a chance that you will be at least visited by a possum. Now, the other thing is,
they got a lot of problems with that Coliseum, man. Yeah, remember when they had the sewage a couple years ago?
That's why they're either trying to get a new stadium or move that team to Vegas. Yeah. One or the other's going to happen.
Is that a possum or is that a raccoon? That's a raccoon.
No, it's possum.
Possum. What you have in your video?
It could be a raccoon.
No, that's a raccoon. That's a mean raccoon.
Yeah. And his eyes were all like red. I was.
Don't mess with raccoons, man. No. Those are sharp teeth, sharp. Or claws.
So let me ask you guys another. This is another broadcasting question. Did you see the note where the Dodgers announcers aren't going on this road trip? They're not going to Philly and to New York. Okay. They're going to call the games remotely because there have been some positive COVID tests, and they want to minimize the chance of spreading COVID. So the TV crew, Joe Davis, and they have a team of analysts. Your friend Jessica is one of the analysts. Dontrell Willis, Eric Karros, whoever does the games on this road trip are going to do them from L.A. Same thing with Charlie and Rick. They're going to call the games. Do you guys, just your own opinion, do you notice or care if the announcers are not physically at the game? Momo, you first.
I absolutely notice and I absolutely care. I think, look, I have not traveled the way that I used to since COVID, right? I used to always try to go to games, write from games. There's just so much scene that you lose when you're not able to do that. And broadcast to me is a really big difference. And I know you can do a lot remotely. Like, I've been sort of faking my way through stories for 2 years, right?
Because
I go onto the Zoom press conference or I call somebody, during the game or whatever it is. But it's just really not the same. And I worry that we all get used to it.
Bergman, do you notice or care if the announcers are not physically at the game?
Only when it comes to a guy named John Sterling.
Stanton, the National League MVP last year, swung on and drilled to deep right center field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It is first Yankee at bat. Giancarlo. Non si può stopparlo. It is a Stantonian home run. A two-run blaster right there.
Oh, you tried, see? You tried to be mean and embarrass John Sterling. You did was show off his home run call, you big jerk.
Oh, here, try this one. Try this one. Try this one.
Pitch, 1-2. Swung on, hit the air to right. Back goes Stanton on the track at the wall, leaping, and she is gone. It is a home run. They're all waiting. And why are they waiting?
Because Stanton caught the ball.
That's just mean. The guy's 81. He's out there doing his best, and you're mocking him and making fun of him. That's just mean.
I mean, but caught.
It's the most amazing thing. John Sterling's the best. But he's doing it from away. The whole point is that he's not doing it at the stadium, so he doesn't actually see it.
I will tell you this. As somebody who has done games both remotely and in person, it makes a big difference to me. I think I do a better game. Michael does a better game if we're actually in the building. I feel thankful that the Lakers are kind of leaders in this regard. They want their announcers there if they can physically work it out. And so they put us back on the road last year, which to us makes a big difference. I applaud the Dodgers, though. If anybody's testing positive for COVID, nobody wants to go back to where things were, where we're wearing masks and, nobody's at any games. And so I think they're doing the right thing. I've always felt, like you do, Ramona, that there is a difference. And you can tell when the announcers aren't there. But I'm very biased for obvious reasons. Yeah. Jorge, do you care if the announcers are at the game?
Yeah, I actually do. It just sounds better. Like, you see things that you wouldn't see from a screen here in the studio. So you can explain more things that are happening there and whatnot. So I like you guys being there.
And you can ramp up your energy. Like, you can fake it. I called the whole bubble championship remotely. I mean, I think we had good enthusiasm, but it's not the same as natural enthusiasm. I think that actually makes a difference. So I think we're moving back to a world, and hopefully in a year or two, it'll be almost 100% where the announcers are back at the games. But there's still a handful of teams. There are some teams that are not traveling their announcers. In baseball, it's more common than in basketball, but there are some NBA teams. For example, the Mavericks don't. The Mavericks don't travel their radio guys. They call those games remotely from Dallas. Yeah. They may have changed it for the playoffs. I don't know. But during the regular season, they have a really good radio play-by-play team. And a guy named Chuck Cooperstein does the play-by-play, and Brad Davis does the color. And they were doing all the games remotely from Dallas. I don't know if they still are. But we'll see. But ESPN, for the most part, if you're watching a game on ESPN, or like tonight, when you listen to the game on ESPN radio, when you hear that game, all the announcers are actually there in the building. So I do think it makes a difference. And by the way, Bergman, are we still giving people a chance to win VIP tickets to the sold-out Mandy Awards?
Yes.
Is that still happening?
Yes, if you go to the app and go down to the contest button, you can win.
I haven't mentioned that today. Go ahead.
Yes, yeah, so if you go down to the if you go to the ESPN LA app, go down to the contest button, you can enter in to win a VIP experience at the Mandy's, two tickets with a whole bunch of other stuff that comes with it, front row seats, the whole deal. So, yes, go to the ESPN LA app, download it, and go to the contest page.
I cannot tell you how much better this app is than the way we used to do things. If you haven't downloaded the ESPN LA app, it's easy. Just go to your app store, whatever you use, Android, iPhone, whatever. Type in ESPN LA, and there's a space between ESPN and LA, and the app will come right up. Download it, and you can listen to us. You can listen to any show on the air. You can find all the podcasts, and you can do it in one tap. So if you haven't downloaded the ESPN LA app yet, what are you waiting for? All right, coming up
John,
next, Bert.
I did it, by the way. I did it. I downloaded the app. I thought you were just, reading a line or something. It really is that easy. Like, I downloaded it. It was on the air. I find it immediately. It comes on. Like, I don't even know. I don't even know why it took so long to have something this good.
Right. The old way, you had to do like six taps. This
Yay.
Is one tap, and you're in business. We're not just making
Kudos
this up.
To the programmers.
Yes, download the ESPN LA app. All right, coming up next, we'll get Bergman in here. He'll do jump ball. That's next. ESPN LA.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you very much, Key. All right, so next one. And I'm going to get to a different one after this. Amy Adams is a pretty big star, right?
Yeah.
Well, she is going to be in a new movie that will come out on Hulu, and here's the premise. A neo-horror thriller that follows a woman who is convinced she is turning into a dog. It's called Night, and then the word for female dog. Why, outside of money, is she doing this?
Maybe it's a great script.
I mean, can it be a great script if you think you're turning into a dog?
So, here's a story, Bergman. One day, this was so long ago. Mason and I started in 1996. And one day, remember, Ramona, back in the days when you were in school and you wanted to go to the movies, you'd have to look up where the movies were playing in the newspaper?
Yep.
Okay, so that's
there was no Fandango, remember?
Right. So I would...
Movie phone.
One day, Greg, true story, I'm thumbing through the paper and we're on the air. And I go, I think I want to go to the movies tonight. And, you know, Mason's a big movie guy. I go, Mason, look at this stupid ad for this movie. What idiot came up with this? It's a picture of this guy, Ace Ventura pet detective, to serve and protect your pets. This is a dumb... Why would anyone pay money to go see... The Ace Ventura pet detective franchise made over $1 billion. So who's to say that Amy Adams hasn't stumbled into the next Ace Ventura pet detective?
Yeah.
You never know until you see the movie. You can't dismiss... A movie based on an idea. Maybe this movie is good.
I don't know, man. A neo-horror thriller that follows a woman who's convinced she's turning into a dog is a little bit different than Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey.
No, Jim Carrey wasn't Jim Carrey yet, though.
He was close enough. He was great on In Living Color.
How is that movie you're talking about, the Amy Adams movie, more ridiculous than a pet detective?
Well, the pet detective was supposed to be a comedy, and it was a comedy. This is a horror film.
Yeah.
I don't know. Momo, what do you think?
I'm kind of with John. Like, you know, maybe this is really good because there's no other reason to do something like this, right? To just do something really campy. But it's kind of like, I think I'm generally a pretty serious journalist person, right? Like, generally when I'm playing it pretty straight, you know? But every once in a while, you guys can get me to do something truly stupid.
Yes.
Right? And
that's
I think
our goal,
I should.
Actually, when you come
yeah.
Bergman,
I mean,
I think
you know, Around the Horn got me to... Yeah.
What'd they get you to do?
Around the Horn, they got me to dress up like Coach K.
Well, they, everybody
so I put
did.
On
that
a
was
wig.
A great show.
Yeah, it was a good show. Like, I was like, yeah, you know what? That's a good look. Even though it's like totally off-brand for me. Sometimes you got to do something totally off-brand.
Right? Ramona, I've done shows in a pineapple romp'em. I appeared at the Trial of the Century in a Captain America bow tie with a cape.
Very good.
I mean, yeah.
Bunny?
Bunny. So I did an entire show in a bunny suit and hopped around the studio.
I've seen the video.
It was great.
Yes. Now, Bergman, if those things all worked, how can you dismiss the horror woman thinks she's a dog idea?
I mean, I'll come on and say how amazing it is if it is, but that sounds just absolutely terrible.
Well, I will say this, John. Like, you in the bunny suit, you in all those things, those are little viral videos for a while. They can be used for blackmail later, but you didn't spend a lot of time doing that, right?
Right.
Okay? My probably really stupid things, I think you got me to burp on air, because I can do that on command pretty much. And then
you and Mason
you know,
are the only
drop.
Two people who've ever burped on the air.
I mean, I can do it right now if you want. Yeah. You can just do it.
God
but
bless
like,
you.
But the you know, the drop that you always like to play about how I haven't farted in 2 months.
I honestly don't think I've farted in 2 months.
Now that is a serious journalist, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, really good for the credibility, right? But I think doing a movie,
no,
that's a lot
really.
Of time commitment. That's like, she spent a lot of time doing that.
Yeah, but Bergman, you're being too dismissive of the woman who thinks she's a dog movie.
I will be dismissive about it.
Corporate Greg, take it away.
All right, so NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman was on the Andrew Marchand and John Oran podcast, and he had some interesting words for ESPN in their former coverage of hockey. So go ahead, Jorge.
Okay.
I was quoted as saying
with my tongue in my cheek when we first made these deals, that if ESPN did half a good a job as promoting us as they did in freezing us out during the 17 years we weren't with them, we would be in great shape. And they're doing a great job in promoting us, as is Turner.
So there's truth in every tongue-in-cheek comment, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Why is he poking the bear, Momo?
I don't think he is at all. I applaud him for his candor, Momo. Don't you?
I guess, yeah. I mean, look, here's what's happened. The streaming wars have created incredible opportunity and leverage for minor sports, right? Because these are things that, like, you wouldn't put the NBA on ESPN Plus right now because you still want to have the widest distribution possible. But sports like the XFL, hockey, UFC, boxing, they can get deals that they have never previously gotten because they can go on ESPN Plus instead of just the linear ESPN. And then they have games that'll go on ABC or the regular broadcast, you know, right through the broadcast networks, in addition to the Plus games, because they did get frozen out for so many years, right? So their fans have had to figure out where to find them for a long time, and they're willing to pay for streaming, and it's a good way to grow the subscription base, and that's the new era of sports. When this really changes, John, is when you start to see NBA games, Major League Baseball games. So we see this first now with Apple. There are Major League Baseball games that are on Apple Plus that you can't get on your regular broadcast deal. That's when streaming in sports is really going to change the game. We're not quite there yet when you start, but we're really close.
Jorge, what you got?
Okay, so I sent you guys a video that Brenda sent me yesterday, and it's a stunt couple. So these people got married, and the craziest thing they did was they lit themselves on fire, walked down the aisle or whatever it was.
What?
Yeah, I sent you guys this video. So they're stunt people. They got, you know, they lit themselves on fire and walked down the aisle. Yeah. So what is the craziest thing you guys have seen at a wedding? Like, obviously not putting yourself, you know, burning yourself.
So I can't remember if I told this story the other day or not. I may have told it off the air. So when Lisa and I got married, we went to, I think what they call it premarital counseling, but really you're just going to the priest that's going to marry you so he can get to know you. And he asks you all these, you know, like, and Nevin do that, Momo?
Yeah, we did that with the rabbi. Yeah.
Okay. So I always thought this was some story that somebody had made up, but he said, no, it's real. It happened to a friend of mine who's a pastor in Dallas. So this woman's getting married, and the night before her wedding, she finds out, and apparently one of her best friends knew about it, that her maid of honor was sleeping with the groom behind her back.
Oh, what?
And her best friend said, look, I knew you wouldn't believe me. This is probably going to end our friendship. But I hired a private detective to give you proof that this is really happening.
Wow.
And I know it's going to blow up your life, but here are the pictures. And she showed the pictures to the bride. And so the next day is the wedding. And the bride walks into the church. Everybody's there.
Oh,
and she walks
God.
Into the church, and she's not in her wedding dress. And she stands up in front of the congregation and goes, I know you guys all came here for a wedding, and we're going to have a big party, and I have no other way to tell you this but to just tell you. I found out last night that my husband-to-be is having an affair with my maid of honor.
Oh, my God.
And so we're going to have a giant party. And I hope you'll come to the reception because I'm going to be there. And I'm sorry that you had to find out this way. And she walked out. And the groom and the maid of honor were up front when she did it.
Oof.
Whoa.
And that's the weirdest wedding story I've ever heard.
I think that wins.
Yeah. But this thing with this couple on fire is crazy.
That is crazy.
Wow. How did they put it out like that?
Oh, they had guys.
I just watched it to the end.
Yeah, yeah. They have guys in fire extinguishers.
But have you ever, Momo, have you ever been like actually at a wedding and then the wedding didn't happen?
No, never been at one of those. No. I've been at super awkward weddings. I've been at the only, I don't think I've been at any, you know, I've been at awkward ones. I've been at really long ones. Those are hard. The Catholic weddings are tough, man. They're really long and they're in the hot church.
You ever been to an Armenian wedding?
No, haven't been. They go all night. Really long.
They go. Oh, well, Lisa's cousin's Armenian. We went to wedding. It started at like 6. We were the first ones to leave. We left at like 2 in the morning.
Oh my God.
They just go all night. Yeah, it's the biggest party you've ever seen. It's like it's spectacular. Go ahead.
All right, no, we're out of time. Do you want to do Pirtle next?
You want to do
Pirtle? I bet we can get it really fast
after the break.
Yeah, no, but Greg's paranoid about blowing this one.
Only at the top.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll play Pirtle coming up, and Ramona's in for Mace. We got some other stuff we want to hit. Jorge somehow is ahead in our PGA pool because he picked Rory McIlroy, who is still on top of the leaderboard in Tulsa. We'll catch up on all this stuff next. Mason in Ireland, Ramona in for Mace, 710 ESPN.